Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the crib. Yeah. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Everything gon' get devoured, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the crib.
Let's go. We have got some breaking news regarding early kickoffs in the SEC. We'll share that coming up. But the big story was broken last night. It is rare whenever you get really good journalism done. And I want to shout out Matt Hayes of Saturday Down South. Broke some pretty big news yesterday that Lincoln Riley and the USC Trojans have been trying to get out for 2 years now of this difficult season opening game versus LSU. Now, is Lincoln Riley scared of the SEC? Is this a situation where Matt Hayes is just making something up? Or are we just in the middle of the offseason and we are just reacted to anything LSU-USC worthy? Look, I will say this. As far as this story is concerned, it makes a ton of sense that there were some reasons that USC didn't want to play LSU. Obviously, USC moved to a new conference. You have all these different television networks. Obviously, the Big Ten is the Fox network, and the SEC is truly with ESPN. Now, it's not to say that LSU can't play season openers on other networks and vice versa. LSU kicked off versus UCLA on Fox just a few years ago. But what I want to tell each and every one of you, no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, this story is really good news for LSU. Really good news. Because it makes the speeches for Brian Kelly that much easier. They are scared to play you. They do not want the smoke. You want to take it to them. There is so much to this game that we want to end. We want to end the stigma when it comes to season opening games versus difficult opponents. We want to show the world that we are not scared to play anyone, anybody, any place, anytime. And I have shared this multiple times, okay? I think this mindset can get you in trouble and rationality, but I tend to like this mindset overall, that you truly do not duck anything. And LSU, out of any team in the SEC, has been the boldest team. You remember last year when there was a big discussion about the 9-game conference schedule. Who was the biggest proponent of the 9-game conference schedule? It was LSU. They said, if you're in the SEC, which is the best conference in America, you do not duck more competition. And LSU does not duck more competition. They have always, even predating Brian Kelly, scheduled some of the toughest non-conference games you'll ever see. And on top of that, the LSU Tigers have always had an inequitable schedule playing Florida every year as their cross-division rival from the SEC. So I like the fact that LSU has always been bold. They have always been bold. You've never heard anyone from LSU really bitch and moan about having to play a rematch versus Alabama, which was BS back in 2011. So LSU has always been a bold school. USC is a meek school. USC always complains. Well, back in 2003, we didn't get a chance to play LSU in the national championship game. BS. You controlled your own destiny. You should have won all your games. Or you should have beaten teams a little bit more and get into the national championship game. You controlled your own destiny. Yeah, the playoff system at the time sucked. But I don't want to hear all the moaning. USC has always been a school of moaners, complainers. But the bottom line is this is great news if you're an LSU Tiger. Great news. This sends a jolt through that locker room once they learn that USC does not want the smoke. Now, I'll be honest. I'm not sitting here telling you that we should not take USC lightly. USC is a really good team. They are a really good offensive team to play in week one with a brand new defensive staff at every single level, including your defensive coordinator. They very well could beat us. But this goes in line with USC's typical mindset. They're meek. They're scared. I don't want to hear any BS about the network stuff and the new conference and all of that. Now, you see the poll question that's attached to this, okay? Do you believe this is a good thing? Do you want LSU to not play difficult season openers? I will tell you that LSU had a very strong case of getting out of this game versus USC. They had a very strong case. Because if they would have gotten out of the game with USC, keep in mind, they still had one more out-of-conference Power 5 game to play versus UCLA. So they would have met the requirement of playing a difficult out-of-conference game versus a Power 5 team. Now, UCLA is going to suck this next year. But LSU would have been perfectly sound to acquiesce to USC's alleged demands for Matt Hayes to get out of the game. But Brian Kelly elected to not do that. Sure, it is true that LSU is getting a nice $5 million check to play in this game versus USC. But they would have made a lot of money if they would have just scheduled another home game and, I don't know, put Southern back in there, put someone else in there. It would have made sense. But I'm telling you, and I've said this, I will stick with it. I think Lincoln Riley's burned out. I do. I really, really, really do. I have heard that he is not a first one in, last one out kind of guy. That's not really his MO. I like the defensive coordinator hire that they made. It weakened their rival as well, bringing DeAnton Lynn from UCLA on over. I think their defense is going to be a handful. They run a lot of simulated pressures. They have produced some really good defensive players, including one that was in the first round this past year. So, yeah, I mean, UCLA's defense, or USC's defense, excuse me, DeAnton Lynn's UCLA defense that's now with USC, they're going to be better. They're going to be better. I mean, it's no ifs, ands, or buts about it that Alex Grinch was terrible. But I will also share this side of it. As much as I do like the fact that LSU is bold and that they aren't afraid of scheduling difficult out-of-conference games, the truth is, college football has never been about who you beat. It never has been, and it never will be. If you are a Power 5 team and you run the table, you likely were getting into the playoffs, obviously, before this past year's all-time screw job by Florida State. And Florida State, by the way, did play a tough out-of-conference game versus us. But the truth always has been in college football. Who you beat doesn't matter as much as who you avoid losing to, or just avoiding losses in general. Nobody cares about season-opening victories. I hate that about the sport. I have always said that in sports, and I went on a rant about this when Pegasus, who I think is in here now, asked me a few days ago, what's my hottest sports take? I won't go into that again, but I have always said that we should celebrate college football's great regular season even more, and we should celebrate teams that schedule difficultly. That's why I have not been overly critical of Billy Napier. That's why I've not been overly critical of Shane Beamer. They schedule too tough compared to their talent level and program expectations. Scheduling tough, no one gives you credit for that. They only care what your record is. If we truly cared about who you scheduled, you would begin to see the fraud that is the Kentucky Wildcat football program. It is the most fraudulent program in all of college football. I spent a month researching this last year in a Power Hour SEC deep dive that nobody watched. So it further proves that nobody cares how soft you schedule your schedule. Okay? I do, because I factor in nuance to all of my analysis. But ultimately, nobody cares. Ultimately, they only care about who you do not lose to. And the truth is, a 60-0 win versus Southern or whoever, Norfolk State or the Wofford Terriers or Spartanburg, South Carolina, whoever you schedule, that game matters more than if you were to lose to USC in a close one. Losses hurt in college football more than any other sport. So the other side of it is true. Maybe, just maybe, LSU should have just said, okay, we'll happily get out of this. You pay our buyout for the game. You write us a check, and we'll just set up another home game, make money off sales, keep people happy. Because I will tell you this. If LSU were to lose another season opener, there will be a lot of LSU fans turned off. A lot. Will they still come to games? Sure. Sure. Do I think we beat USC in week one? I do. I do. But the bottom line is whether or not you like the season opener versus USC, whether or not you get excited about USC being scared, whether or not you hate Lincoln Riley for the LSU situation, which we can get into a slippery slope argument, was Lincoln Riley ever really involved with LSU? I have my own theories as to what really happened, but that's not here nor there. And obviously, there is a lot of juice. And I went on a very popular USC show a few years ago to discuss 2003 LSU versus 2003 USC. I think we would have won. I don't think we would have blown them out. I got into an argument with Blake about that earlier today. We wouldn't have blown them out. We would have won. But that was in this is now. But that game does hold some weight into this matchup because it's always been a discussion over the past couple of decades. I think we take care of business. I really, really, really do versus USC. But it's crazy. All LSU needs to do as an SEC team with a really nice brand and a good schedule every year is just go 10-2. If LSU goes 10-2 next year, it is a mortal lock that they get into the playoffs. It is impossible for them to not get in at 10-2 because they would have too many good wins on their schedule if they were to go 10-2. Okay. I still believe that to be true, even if one of those 10 wins would not have been USC. if USC was not on the schedule and LSU went 10-2, they would still be a lock for the playoff. So it doesn't change anything. And look, you guys know I am as anti-playoff as anyone. I believe in every sport the playoffs are overrated. With that said, it's ultimately what your it's what ultimately most people judge you on. And the truth is nobody gives a damn how you got there. Nobody. Nobody. Now, we go to Simper, BT. I want to shout out LA Mom, Epic Shorty.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Skipper's in here. Jared, this just in, Riley buys a dog. Okay, I'm trying to get what that reference is, but I will say Lincoln Riley's dog's names were Boomer and Sooner. Okay. Did he change his dog names when he went to USC? Okay. If I were to rename Lincoln Riley's dogs, I would name them Trojan Man. That's what I would have done. Huh? What better way to protect your household than by naming your dogs Trojan Man? You get it? Get it? Anyway. Fight and on. But yeah. I want to move on to the early kickoff breaking news. Okay. So earlier today, we'll talk about the NCAA video game reactions. There was a lot of people that got to play the game and they were put on hush for a few weeks. And today, all the media that got to go play the game got to publicly speak about the game. Okay. So, we'll talk about some of their reactions. However, I want to share with you something, especially if you go to games, that matters quite a bit. This is via Chuck Dunlap. Okay. And here is the media room. Oh, man. All early kickoffs for the entire season will be identified in mid-June. Y'all, huge news. Huge news. Okay. So, as many of you know, it is only May. June is coming up. But what that news essentially means, okay, is the college football schedule will mostly be decided before the season even begins. Okay. The most jarring change to a schedule is the news that a game has been moved to an early kickoff. That is the most jarring news you can have for any game on your schedule. Especially if you're an LSU fan, where tailgating is a massive part of our culture. And going to a night game in Death Valley is a massive bucket list item for non-LSU fans. Like, I understand Tennessee kicked our ass, but I feel for some of the Tennessee fans that will in their lifetimes, may not ever get a chance to go back to Tiger Stadium, and they have to go to an 11 a.m. game. Okay? So, the truth is that is really good news for those of you that go to games. So Jared goes to a lot of games. Kevin does. A lot of our viewers are season ticket holders. Knowing the 11 a.m. schedule is good for the fan. It's also good for the coaches, okay? It is a lot easier to logistically plan out your season with an 11 a.m. kickoff. Now, in the past, you had 2 weeks to prepare, but now you'll have more time. Now, once again, this is just Greg Sankey saying this at a press conference. That may not hold true, because ultimately the television networks could tell Greg, hey, you shouldn't have said that. We want as long as we possibly can to decide when the games are going to be played. Okay. But the truth is, this is a really good day for the college football fan. It is a really, really, really good day. There's nothing quite like buying tickets for a game and 2 weeks prior not really knowing how you can plan your travel to the game. Because if it's an 11 a.m. kickoff, you've got to book a hotel that Friday night. You just do. Because, you know, it's just a long way to drive. It really is. And you got to book it in a short amount of time. Now that you know the 11 a.m. schedule, you can reasonably book your travel and plan accordingly a lot easier, if that makes sense. Normally, the safe thing to do is just book Friday and Saturday night, but some people got to get back. So, really good news today. Really, really, really good news. I want to share a few other tweets, and this press conference is actually happening right now, okay? That's not what I wanted to share. Put it right here. All right, this is Brandon Marcello. All right. Greg Sankey wants the college football playoff to go through the first season of a 12-team playoff before deciding on the future format and whether to expand to 14 teams. That opinion sides with others like the Big 12 spread URMAC. Okay. So we'll start with this. A 14-team playoff sucks. Now, if you've been following me for the longest, you know I am anti-playoff expansion in all formats. On my NFL channel, I'm talking about how playoff expansion almost hurt Joe Burrow. And that video will be coming out pretty soon. I've actually spent the last 2 days making this one video. But, you know, more playoff games means more inventory and a lot more money. Playoff games make so much more money than all the other games. So, yeah, you're watering down your regular season. It sucks. But there are so few games in the regular season. Ticket demands won't go down. Viewership won't go down. But an expansion of 14 teams only makes more money, in theory. Okay? So, it is very interesting. You know, 14 is tough. It's tough for me to justify 14. And the way that it would work is instead of the first four teams getting byes, it would be the first two teams, the top two teams getting byes. If the first round is played on campuses, then you're definitely going to see a lot of teams want a 14-team playoff, right? That's where being a three seed has a lot of weight because you get the double dip. You get a high seed and you get a season opening playoff. Okay. Now, we continue. More than half of the SEC kickoff time should be announced by mid-June. All right. So it's not just the 11 a.m. kickoffs. It's all the kickoffs that we will, for the most part, know about. Now, why is this the case? Well, ESPN owns all the inventory. So you don't have to worry about what CBS will do, right? It makes it a lot easier to project. And it's also a little bit easier to guess what's happening, right? I think with CBS, they couldn't have the same team twice in a row or three times in a row or something like that. Or they can only have a team four times on CBS during the course of a season. Now, since ESPN owns all of it, there really is no limit, the way I understand it. So that's also very interesting, and I think it is good. Okay. We will also have the kickoff times tomorrow for the first 3 weeks. That's pretty normal. That is nothing new per se. We have always known the first three kickoff times. I will say this until I'm blue in the face. Okay. One of the best things, okay, one of the best things you can do as an LSU fan, if you've never been to a game, is go to a game in the first 3 weeks of the season. Now, why is that the case? Well, you're going to know the start time. And if you want to guarantee the experience of seeing Tiger Stadium at night, go to the game that you know will be at night. But now that we know all the kickoff times, that maybe not be as that maybe isn't as important. So really excited about that. The more transparency, the better. The more we know the kickoff times, the better for you, the fan. Okay, that's where I stand. You might disagree. Yeah, some of you might like the mystery of not knowing the kickoff time. But I think it's brutal. I think it's a slap in the face to your most diehard fans. And your most diehard college football fans are the ones that do actually spend the money and actually go to the games. I try to go to a few LSU games every year, and I have. You know, last year I was only going to go to two. And then Jaden Daniels made me go to his last one because he was that freaking good. So there you go. Now, Pegasus says, I know it couldn't work because of ticket sales, but he wishes they would tell you who you're playing Monday of that week. I think that's a terrible idea. That's a logistical nightmare in so many different ways. But I guess it would be kind of interesting. I think you can do that in some other sports, but that's tough. Tyler, what's good, man? I appreciate you. I hate to do this publicly, but I've tried. I don't want you to take this as disrespect because he made me this hat. All right. I actually like this design. I like both designs, honestly. But it was causing too much pain. It was causing too much pain. I'll even do it one final time. Okay, look, I could wear the hat with no. Okay, look, it just. I guess in theory, I could wear it like this, and you couldn't really tell. It's still too tight, even when all the things aren't there. So, watch, I'll put this on and watch this. See a red mark right there? So you want me to give it away? Okay, I'll give it away. Actually, I'll give it away at the June 29th show, by the way. Next PHL get-together. I do a lot of these in Shreveport, June 29th. Arklatex Sports Carter Memorabilia Show. It's free to attend. I get no money. They pay me nothing for me to show up and go there. I just go because it's community. It's a bunch of LSU fans coming together. Trading sports memorabilia, selling some of my sports memorabilia, but honestly, I'm giving out most of it. So there you go. Now, another huge breaking development in college football just dropped. Okay. And it kind of goes along with this.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. All right, so sponsorships could be coming to the fields that you play on. This is a pretty big no-brainer for me. Schools should be able to make money off their fields. There should be sponsorships allowed on the fields. Okay? It really doesn't take away from the viewing experience. In fact, most high school fields have sponsorship logos on the field itself. So that's not really anything that would affect you. Now, what would change are the patches. So the patches on the jersey would change some things. Okay. Do you want an LSU uniform that also has the sponsorship patch on it? I'm telling you right now, sponsorship patches, do they really change the way you watch the games? Not really. Not really. It's honestly pretty normal. There are more sports that exist on the planet that have sponsorship patches on the jerseys that don't. Okay? The NBA implemented sponsorship patches not too long ago. I could see it coming to the NFL. All right? We see it, obviously, in other sports internationally. Soccer has always had sponsorships on their jerseys. In fact, their sponsorships take up more real estate on their jerseys. NHL, could we see that happen? Obviously, if you're a NASCAR fan, the two of you watching this that are NASCAR fans, it's all sponsorships. It's plastered all over you. Golf, same thing. So I don't know. Maybe some of you dislike that. But honestly, any way to get more money pumped into your program is what you want. Something else that makes jersey sponsorships a little bit more valuable for college sports is that there is no salary cap. So if there's no salary cap, you really need as much money as you can get. Okay? So it's interesting. It's interesting. When they sell jerseys, so the NBA replicas don't have the patches on them. Maybe so. Maybe the hat I need to wear on all live streams. This is the only one that comfortably fits my fat head. My Pelican. That thing is a thing of beauty right there. Oh yeah, I did shout out Tyler during my AYS spot earlier today. Now, lots of weird-ish breaking news happening. As Greg Sankey is on the podium. Lots happening in the world of college sports. All right. Now, I do want to chat a little bit about an event that's happening in Nashville. Okay. LSU has a few recruits in Nashville right now for their On Three recruit series. I'll just be honest. I can't quit listening to Bryce Underwood interviews. Now, bias tells me that our interview was the best. So go check out our Bryce Underwood interview. But I'm listening to more and more. And I understand there is always, always the fear of him going somewhere else. It's going to be in the back of all our minds because he is such a transcendent talent, a needle-moving talent at the sport's most important position. But I'm not the big insider guy. I believe, though, he will go to LSU. Now, the question is, what about DJ Pickett? What about some of these other five stars that are there? Obviously, there was an eyebrow raising move. Jared, thank you so much. And they are doing that five, Adam. They if they could visit Michigan every weekend, they would. But they basically, they're all over it. Like, there's really nothing they could do outside of what they're already doing at this point. And just based on my knowledge and my conversations, is Bryce really wants to be at LSU. His family really wants to be in Louisiana. So take that for what it's worth. Okay. Things can change as always, but look, I could just be jaded because I interviewed him, but I think he's going to LSU. I really, really, really do. DeCoin Moore is interesting though. You know, he's had all these interviews and he has said LSU's not really out of it. And he said that he wants to play potentially with some of the other five-star receivers. Obviously, the most likely scenario for all the five-star receivers is for all of them to go to Ohio State, because that's normally what happens. But yeah, it is interesting. Now, I do want to talk a little bit about DJ Pickett. Chavis Jackson is at Miami, and he's recruiting DJ Pickett. Man, I will say this till I'm blue in the face. I would have loved Chavis Jackson to be a part of our last staff year. I would have loved it. I think he is a rising star. But I didn't get my wish. DJ Pickett he's got a PHL ban. I know that. I gave him one at the spring game. I hope DJ Pickett picks LSU. He's good. He's really good. Okay. We go to Roby. I'm driving through Birmingham with an LSU tag on my truck. Holla. You know what they say? Don't text and drive. But it's perfectly legal to super chat and drive. Perfectly legal. There is no laws saying that you cannot super chat and drive. I'm kidding. Roby is pulled over at a Love's truck stop right now, contemplating a gas station shower and one of those breakfast roll-up things. Have you ever gone into Love's and seen their collection of Bluetooth headsets? Holy crap. I mean, they have the most advanced Bluetooth headset collection that would make you go crazy. I swear to God, I saw in one Love's, they had the Vegeta Scouter. For those that got that reference, you got it. But they had the Vegeta Scouter. They made one. Power level at 9,000. Huh? But shout out, Roby. Good to see you, man. Wait, what is this? It goes quick from mountain to flat. It goes from mountain to flat real quick in Birmingham. I used to drive to Birmingham for SEC Media Days every year until they banned me. And whatever the case may be, I don't know if I ever want to go again. I would love to go back, though. But my heart will forever be shattered. SC Media Days was a big day for me. I'd go all out with my interviews, my content. I'd be the first one in, last one out. Pooh Bear, what's good? Go Cougars. Let's go to Jared. June 10th, we find out from LSU how many Vegas tickets you got, and you're nervous. That's a long time. That is a long-ass time. Jared says, I could live without Birmingham. I couldn't. I like Birmingham. But who sang the song? Paint me a Birmingham. Is that even a song, or am I just making that up? What is that? And my wife would know. Paint me a Birmingham. Yeah, you're just, you stop to show your son where he will play in the future. Or am I just making this up? Is that actually a song? Okay, so Tracy Lawrence, that's who sang that song. So it was a thing. It's Tracy Lawrence is probably the most 90s country artist ever. Him or Joe Diffie, either one. Hey, I was like, man, I've been out of country for so long. But I remember that song. I don't even know what it is. He, when he is singing that song, is he talking about Birmingham, Alabama? What is he even talk? Paint me a bird. What is a paint? What about Birmingham are you painting? Emil says 0-4 since 2019 in week one game says a lot. Yeah, I mean, look, it just comes down to your philosophy on things. Like we said at the very beginning, okay? Is it smart to start the season with a weaker team? Yes, it is. It's smart. You want to play a weaker team to start things out. It drives me crazy, though, about analysis. It really does, because no one ever factors that in. The only two teams that are the only three teams, I believe, that lost last year in week one were the only three teams that played Power Five teams. South Carolina lost to North Carolina, Florida lost to Utah, and LSU lost to Florida State. You know what's funny is nobody gave a damn. Okay? Go look at SEC analysis at the time. Everybody on SEC Network, all the SEC analysis was, well, so-and-so won their game, and so-and-so lost their game. Nobody ever mentions that. No one gave LSU, Florida, or South Carolina credit for playing someone difficult. Cole says, look, we are overrating the season opening thing. UCLA, Coach O checked out. True. What about Mississippi State? You want to use the same excuse? Sure. That's fine. Brian Kelly first year versus Florida State. lost by one. And then last year, you're winning 17-14. You know one thing I'll say about all four of those losses? Okay. Is, yeah, our team was not up to snuff. Our team was not ready. And for a lot of different reasons, they were not ready to go. Okay. What I would also say is in all four of those games, we did not really coach any of them well either. Now, I give Brian Kelly a long leash for the season opener versus Florida State. I was fine with that being a not-so-great coach game. But it was just that. It was a not well-coached game at all. It was one of Brian Kelly's worst coach games, and he still almost won it. But we have really struggled strategically in these week one games. We have. So, you know, and it goes into like the 2019 LSU discussion. Do you think it really helped the offense getting that week one victory versus Georgia State or Georgia Southern, whoever it was? Joe Burrow threw for 5 touchdowns, no picks in that game. 3 were to Terrace Marshall. You can make a very strong case that that offense was, you know, lubricated and ready to go for that week one versus Texas. I don't know why I used the word lubricated, but I did. Yeah, send it to me, because that's basically what our Patreon breakdowns have been about, including, and I don't know if you saw this or not, Emil, we dropped a deep dive on Monday on the 2020 recruiting class. That was one of the best recruiting classes ever at LSU, and it stunk. It stunk. I mean, baby diaper stink. It was... it got really sour really quickly. Okay. I have looked and I have seen. All the players during that time period, and it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, on Patreon, we did a long breakdown. It was more defensive-oriented because that's where a lot of the bust have been. But, like, if you really, really want to see something, it's just insane. So I've been doing some studying on Georgia's program, and I dropped a pretty detailed deep dive on one of their recruiting classes, the 2021 class that had Brock Bowers in it. And... like, you know, Brock Bowers gets all the headlines in that class, but there was a lot of just good players, just really, really good players. A.D. Mitchell was in that class, Kwame Lassiter, Amarius Mims. There was just good players, guys that were top 2 round draft picks. It's insane. It's really insane. Like, I don't know why LSU has had so many of these players not work out. I will say it's just a lot easier to check out with the transfer portal, but I don't know. It's breathtaking. It is absolutely breathtaking. Like, let's just use John Emery for an example. All right. Obviously, John Emery is an Orgeron-era guy, and there was academic stuff along with it. But what's interesting is even if you strip out the academic stuff, there really had never been a 5-star running back at LSU that didn't work out. Like, all of them practically worked out. And he was the first that didn't. And in his first 2 years at LSU, the way I understand it, there wasn't any games specifically that he was suspended for, and he really didn't do anything. It was a lot of injuries, and TDP beat him out, and so on and so on. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of a lot of really good athletic profile, five-star recruits just didn't work out. So it's insane. It really, really, really is insane when you look at the data and you see, wow, like this is crazy. It is absolutely crazy. Now, I will say, Emory did show up for the Bama games. He did have some big moments in the Alabama games. And the Auburn game on the road in 2022, we don't win that game without him. I mean, he was crazy in that game. But yeah, it's in, I don't mean to single him out. There's a lot of these. Okay, there's a lot of these. Like, it's crazy. And a lot of it is bad defensive coaching, but a lot of it is also just bad luck. Like the hit rate of your four-star recruits to precipitously fall 70, what was it? It's in the Patreon breakdown. 75% to like 37% is crazy. Yeah, I'm with you, Pegasus. But I will tell you, fans don't care. They really, really, really don't. Yeah, they get more excited for USC. But fans only care if you win the game. They truly do in the long term. They truly only do care if you win. And that's, I think that's dumb. I think that's really dumb. I wasn't mad that we lost our season openers to Florida State. Anyone that watched them previously knew that they were good. Anyone that knew anything about them, you knew that they were good. I was pissed off that we didn't go for two in the win. We learned our lesson. But still. Billy, what's good? UTSA would be fun. That would be fun. Now, here's what we're going to do. In the next 10 minutes, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If it is in your heart's desire, please super chat. Once again, first $20 super chat, sending you this Thaddeus Moss print. Yeah, it's true, Jordan. But times have changed. So, okay. We'll go through each and every one of those season openers. Obviously, you know, the first two we chalk up to Ed Orgeron being, you know, spent, if you will. But in the first game, 2020, it was just such a weird game. There was a huge distraction of the night before. Derek Stingley, I believe, wasn't available. I think he had to go to the hospital. There's nothing you can do about that, but it was a weird game, as many of you know. Then in 2021, we played UCLA, and they were just a better team than us. We were on the road, cross-country trip, and this was essentially a game. You know, Max Johnson missed a walk-in touchdown to Trey Palmer in that game. And then our defense was our defense, right? But that UCLA team was loaded. I mean, Charbonnet, NFL running back, DTR, NFL QB, Dulcich had a big game versus us, NFL tight end. Kyle Phillips is still in the NFL as a receiver. Now, none of these guys are studs, but, I mean, they're good. And the UCLA defense, it is what it is. And then both these Florida State teams were really good. I mean, they're just really good teams. I mean, we lost to an undefeated Florida State team, and then we lost to another good Florida State team that had more continuity and all of that. So there's a way you can explain all those losses to a certain degree. My favorite game day site outside of Louisiana. That's a good question. I would probably say Jordan-Hare or Jordan-Hare. It's a great place. It's a great place for a college football game. Their sound system's loud. Their fans are great. I just think it's so cool that that program is what it is with one of the best programs in the country in your own state. So, yeah, I'd go Auburn. I'd go Auburn. Really, really, really nice stadium. Really nice stadium. Yeah, I mean, Bama. Ooh. People feared Bama. People feared Alabama in those season openers. It's what ended the Jimbo era. It really, I mean, honestly, that was the beginning of the end. It beat the hell out of Florida State, knocked out DeAndre Francois. Neutral sites. What about Houston? NRG Stadium. That is a great place. I think I've been there for two different games. So, yeah, I mean, that. Yeah, that was a weird game that we won there. Also, Houston was part of our failure versus UCLA. Because of the hurricane, we had to play and practice at NRG, and one of our linebackers tore his ACL on that turf. But I do like Houston Stadium. Nope. Preseason rankings are good for the sport. They really are. Okay. All right. Looks like that'll do it for me. I'll take a few more here. I normally like to stay under an hour on Wednesdays. Good to see Billy in here. LA Mom? Yeah, it's true. I don't think if they had played Texas week one, I don't think it would have changed anything. LSU versus Houston 2027 in NRG. Let's go. Let's go. Now, I've heard TCU fans are brutal. Brutal. Shout out Terrence McGee. Was huge for us in that game. Huge. Jarvis Landry as well had a great game. I remember the ending of the first half of that game was like wild. I don't remember exactly what happened. Dang, Mel, this is really detailed. I don't even know where this is from. So I'll go check it out. All right, our top super chatter of the evening. This guy showed out on y'all. He sent a super chat while he was driving. He risked his life to send me this $10 super chat. I appreciate you. And Jared, I appreciate you. It goes a long freaking way. It is Power Hour LSU Bell. And tonight we are doing Sketty and Meatballs. Let's go.